Good morning, everyone. Welcome to God Faith Church. Thank you, Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for this day, and we bless your name, Lord. We come to worship you. We ask you to forgive us all our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord God. We want to hear what your Holy Spirit has to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're reading this morning from Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2, the Messiah's triumph and kingdom. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The Lord said, why do people rage against him? The people said against the Lord, let us break their rule over us. We don't have to do what the Lord says. Let's break the chains and the bonds that they held us in. And the Lord said he'll laugh at them. Amen. But we are blessed when we trust in him. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. He is Lord. Thank you, Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is reigning over us and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We will praise, we will praise, we will lift our voice in praise to Christ the Lord. On our knees we'll bow, with our tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We will praise, we will praise, we will lift our voice in praise to Christ the Lord. On our knees we'll bow, with our tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, we want to invite you to continue worshiping the Lord by going to godfaithchurch.org to worship the Lord with his tithe and offering. Amen. The tithe belongs to the Lord, so you can go to godfaithchurch.org and return the Lord's tithe to him. Amen. And worship him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. At this time, we're going to hear what the Lord has to say to us today. Amen. Father, we come to you and we bless your name. We ask that you speak today, Lord God, and we thank you that you speak to us, and we pray that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and heart to minds to understand what you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to start with Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage, and how do the people plot a vain thing? The things of the earth, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." And I'm going to go to verse 3 in different translations. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 2, verse 3. In the Amplified, it says, "Let us break apart their divine bands of restraint and cast away their cords of control from us." In Amplified Classic, "Let us break their bands of restraint asunder and cast their cords of control from us." And so the nations, the question is, why do people set themselves against the Lord? He is Lord. He reigns over us. He made us, and we didn't make ourselves. But people, not just the kings, but people set themselves against God, and we don't want to be controlled by God. We don't want to follow the Lord. We don't want to choose to obey the Lord. We want to go our own way. People choose to go their own way. Thank you, Lord. "He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion." It doesn't matter if we fight against the Lord. It's in vain to fight against the Lord. He made us. It's in vain to not believe or trust in the word of God and believe that we can live any way we want to, and it doesn't matter because there is no God. He is Lord, whether one person believes it or zero people believe it, or everybody believes it. He is Lord. God is in heaven. He did make us. We didn't make ourselves. And his rules, his word is true. Doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter what we don't believe or what we don't understand. He is Lord. God's word is true. It will come to pass. Okay? But he does give us the choice, the right to choose to serve him. Amen? We have the right to choose. He doesn't make us choose to serve him. So when people fight against him and say, "Here, I'm going to shake loose from this control that you have over me, God," then he lets people walk away. We have to choose to love him. He wants us to love him freely of our own will, not by compulsion. He doesn't compel us to do it. He's a loving God, and he wants us to serve him. He doesn't want anyone to perish and go to hell. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Amen? And he did. It's John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Starting with verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He sent Jesus to die for us. We need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. We don't know everything. We might think we do, but the Lord says his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than ours. He made us. He knows what we need. Amen. Just like a father knows what his son needs or his children need. Children don't understand it, especially when they're teenagers or even the toddlers. They don't understand the rules. They don't understand why they need to follow the rules. But there's rules. There's commandments in place for us, for our salvation. Amen. For us to live the life that the Lord commands us to live. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, not just one of them, all of them. Whatever he says to us, that's what we need to do. We don't have to understand it. We just need to do whatever he tells us to do. He is God. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. Amen? He knows things that we don't know. And we don't have to demand, and we can't. We can, but it does no good to command that he tell us and explain the rules, and then if we understand and agree, then we can do it. That it doesn't work that way. He is Lord. His word is true, not our word. Our word's not true. His word is true. We have to follow what he says. The Lord said in Psalm 2 that the nations rage against him and say, let us break these constraints, these restraints of divine control off of us. We don't want to do what the Lord says. And we can choose to go that way. But it's of no use. It's destruction in the end. But the Lord doesn't want us to do that. He sent his son to die for us. We have to choose life, choose Jesus. And constraint or not, control, yes, for our good. Everything that the Lord does for us and commands us to do is for our good, for the salvation of us and our household. Amen? Thank you, Lord. I'm going to Isaiah. I'm spelling it wrong. Isaiah 29. Verse 15. Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us? And who knows us? In other words, we can do whatever we want to, and nobody sees it. Nobody's going to do anything about it. There is no God. He doesn't see this. There's no consequences for what we do. We can do whatever we want. They say, who sees us and who knows us? Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? Shall we look at God who made us and say, you're nothing, you're just like us? Shall we look at Jesus and say, you're a man just like us? You're not special. You're not God. You don't know any more than us. You were just a man who lived and you did some miracles, maybe, but you're just like us. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made of him who made, for shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? Why should we listen to God? Why should we listen to his commandments? These things are outdated. The commandments are outdated. They are not for today's modern person in this modern technology or techno-filled world. Maybe this worked back when people were living in tents and nomads and roaming from place to place. But the things that are in this Bible, the things that this is, he doesn't know me. The God doesn't understand. That's a fool. Okay? That's foolish. God's word is true. It doesn't matter who believes it or who chooses not to believe it. His word shall come to pass. Whatever he says is true. He, whatever he says from his mouth does not return to him void or empty, but it fulfills everything that he sent it forth to do. But he's not angry with us. He is long-suffering towards us. He's merciful towards us. He knows that we're foolish, but he's long-suffering towards us, and he's not willing for any man, woman, or boy, or child to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's God. You go to 2 Peter 3, so I'm not making up words on my own. 2 Peter 3? Did I say 3? Let's try 3. God is not slack concerning his promise. It's verse 9, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. The Lord, whatever he says, is true. He says it's his word. It shall come to pass. He doesn't just ramble and put random words here. There's not random words in the Bible. There's not random words that the Lord says. Whatever he says is true. It's not random. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. He's patient with us. Long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every one of us, amen? Not just the one time to say, I confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, but as we're being saved, as we're walking with him to be saved every day. The Lord tells us to work out our salvation every day. So this is not just for those who don't know him as Lord and Savior, even for those of us who've been saved for 25, 30 years. He's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going back to John chapter 1. And we were already in John chapter 3, and we know that God loves us, and he sent Jesus to die for us. Amen. But Jesus didn't just come on the scene, you know, halfway through the history of man. Jesus was with God. He is God from the beginning. He anointed Jesus as Lord of all. He anointed him king. He anointed him ruler over us. Whatever he says, that's what we do. And Jesus tells us that whatever he says, he doesn't say of his own accord. He only says what he hears the Father say. Amen. But Jesus is the Word. Verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, the Word, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the light in life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In fact, the people fight against the light of the word, Amen. And there's something I'm looking for. I don't know if it's in John 1 or 3, where people, maybe this is it. Thank you, Lord. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was God, or whose name was John. I'm sorry. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Thank you, Lord. Jesus came to save us all. He did come to the Jews first, but he came not just to save the Jews. He came to save everyone. And whoever believes in him shall be saved. Whoever. He doesn't make a distinction between people. Don't let anybody tell you that if you weren't born a Jew, then Jesus is not for you. Jesus is only for a select group of people. That's a lie. Jesus came to save us all. Read and hear what the Word of God says. Don't take somebody else's word for it. Jesus came to save us all. God loves us all. Amen. He's not willing for anyone to perish. Amen. He came to save us all. Hear what the Word of the Lord has to say to you. Don't take somebody else's word for that. He came to save us all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go back to 3 because that's not quite it. John chapter 3. So bear with me. There it is. It's in John chapter 3. Going back to John chapter 3. Can't hear this enough because it's true. In order to serve God, you first have to receive him and acknowledge that he's your Lord and Savior. We have to choose him. It just doesn't happen by default because you were born into a Christian family, because your parents are Christians, because you know some Christians, and because God is so good that he's not going to send anyone to hell. It's true. He loves us all. He loves us all. And he's not willing for anybody to perish. He doesn't condemn anyone to hell, but we are condemned to hell when we reject him. We have to receive him and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and acknowledge him as our Savior. Not just a one-time confession, but live a life following him. Amen. We have to follow him. We have to cling to him, and we have to do whatever he tells us. We live by faith, and faith has, there's evidence of our faith. Faith without works is dead. We can't just be hearers of the word. We have to be doers of the word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't say, I'm here to send every one of you people into hell. He came to save us from hell, that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. Believing in him is more than just a head knowledge kind of thing. You know, I believe there's a sun in the sky, or I believe the grass is green. Believing on him is to trust in him and to love him and to have faith in him. And to have faith in him is to follow him and to do whatever he commands us to do. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe, he who refuses to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, he who says, let us break these divine chains of control off of us and do things our own way, him, whoever that is, whoever does that, whoever does not believe that he in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And again, it's not just so much a belief in the name of Jesus. There's more to believing that Jesus was real and that Jesus is the same as us. He lived on the earth and he did some things, just like we read in Isaiah. We can't say of him who made us that he's just like us. He's not just like us. He's God. He's Lord over us. Amen. And whatever he says, that's what we do. Not what we think, not what we say, what he says. He is Lord because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So you're condemned already. And this is the condemnation. But we don't have to be that way. We don't have to be condemned. We need to do what he says. Follow him. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. This is why people are become condemned, because the light, Jesus, the Word, he came into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Just like we read in Isaiah, amen? Just like the Lord said in Isaiah about the evil deeds that people do, saying, there's nobody watching us. We can do whatever we want. Not true. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Amen?
Thank you.
We have to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and then live for him. Walk by faith. Faith without works is dead. Don't be a hearer only. Don't just hear the word. Do the word. Whatever he says to us, that's what we do. Amen? In John 1, the Lord says that he was in the beginning and that everything was made through him. And without him, nothing that has been made was made. He is Lord. His word is true. Doesn't matter if you like it or not. Get over yourself. We have to get over ourselves. That's why the Lord tells us to humble ourselves and present ourselves to him in Romans 12. We got to get over ourselves. And so, well, I don't like that. That's what the nations do. That's what people do who reject him. They say, I don't like this control. I don't like this rule. I don't like any of these rules. I don't like believing that there's God who has control over everything. And so I'm just going to do things my own way. We have the right to choose that. But that's the condemnation. The condemnation is, Jesus said, The condemnation is that the light, Jesus, has come into the world. He says, here is the truth. The light is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. What he says is true. What his words are from the Father. He didn't make them up. He didn't just start saying things randomly. His words are from what the Father says. Amen. He's told us the truth. And the truth, the only thing that will make us free, walking in the truth of his word, walking in the light of his word. That's what makes us free. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. In other translations, it says your whole self. Another translation says present your whole self, not just your physical body, but our minds, everything we think, everything about us, present our whole selves to him as a living sacrifice. You know, they sacrifice things on the altar and they kill things. It says we need to be a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice, living, breathing, and hearing what the Lord says to us and then doing whatever he says. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And that's our reasonable service. That's the least we can do. That's the minimum requirement for us. This is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, to those who say, let us break the chains of control off of us and do things our own way. Don't do that. Don't be conformed to the world and to what the people say when they reject God and who keep their deeds in the dark because they don't like the light to expose what they're doing and what they're thinking. Don't do that, but submit our whole selves to Him for Him to change us and transform us. So continuing verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you may be the proof and evidence of what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? Amen. Be changed. Be changed by His word. Be changed. Present our whole selves to Him, because there's nothing that can be hidden from God. And I'm trying to go back to Isaiah. I just have to open another page. So bear with me. Isaiah 29 again. Isaiah makes me want to have a physical Bible, but then verse 15. Don't be like this. Woe, because the Lord says, woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord. Don't try to hide yourself from the Lord. The Lord says, expose ourselves to Him. Everything, present everything about us to Him, a living sacrifice. But in Isaiah, He says, woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us and who knows us? Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? Jesus is Lord. He's not just some man who lived. Amen. He's Lord. Shall the thing made say of Him who made it, He did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of Him who formed it, He has no understanding? It's us. We're the ones that don't have understanding. The Lord's ways and His thoughts are higher than ours. Isaiah, I'm going to say 55. I keep wanting to say 54, but I think there's something else. 55. Yeah, there it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I'm going to start with verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. That's what we're saying today. Today is the day of salvation. That's what the Lord says today. While you hear His voice, today is the day to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Today is the day to repent. Today is the day, you know, if you are saved, to repent from whatever. For each of us, it's not just for people who have never received the Lord as their Savior. This word, the word of God, is for everyone. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts and divides and separates between joints and marrow. It knows and judges the thoughts and intents of our heart. It's not just for people who've never received Him. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Let him return to the Lord. Let him return to our God, because He is merciful. He will forgive us when we repent and confess our sins. Amen? The Lord says in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty. but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I'm going to continue in verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. The Lord, his word is true. Not our words, not our thoughts, not our ways. It is foolish to fight against the Lord and his ways. His way is true. We can't make it up on our own. Why, the Lord says in Psalm 2, why do the nations rage against the Lord and say, let us break these chains, these divine chains of control off of us? Who does the Lord, who does God think he is to tell us what to do? He doesn't know us. He's just like us. In fact, it doesn't matter. We can do whatever we want and he won't see it. It doesn't matter. There's no consequence. That's foolish. His word is true. Whatever he says is true. It will not return to him void. He sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. He died for us. He's paid the price. The price has been paid. We must choose to serve him every day. We can't take a vacation from serving the Lord. We have to serve him with all of our heart, present our whole selves to him. As he said in Romans 12, present your whole self, everything about us, for him to change and transform. We can't transform ourselves. We can't clean ourselves up. We can only obey and do what he commands us to do. Whatever he says to us, that's what we do. Faith without works is dead. It's dead. It's useless. Yeah, find that one. I'm going to try James 2. I go between James 1. Oh, there it is. Okay. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Likewise, in verse 17, it says, thus, or likewise, also faith, if it does not have works, is dead. So he gave that, you know, the naked and destitute without food as an example. See, and that doesn't do you any good to tell somebody who doesn't have food and clothes, be warmed and be filled, go away. What good is that? That doesn't help them. Likewise, in the same way, faith without works is dead. Works accompany faith. But someone will say in verse 18, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And it's the works are works of obedience. The works are not, you know, community service works. It's works of obedience. Was not Abraham, and he tells us this by talking about Abraham, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot, who was also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We believe in the name of Jesus and call on his name, but and believe his word, but if we're not doing his word, it's useless. It's useless. We have to obey and do whatever he commands us to do. Amen. Jesus came to die for us. He is not willing. God is not willing that anybody should perish, but he wants all to come to repentance. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Don't try to stop fighting the Lord. Stop trying to break the chains of control off. He is Lord. His word is true, and it's by his truth and living by his word and doing whatever he says that sets us free. The good news about salvation is that it's the free gift of God and it's available to everyone. Romans 10, 9 through 11 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Pray this prayer out loud. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross.
I believe that you died on the cross.
That you shed your blood.
That you shed your blood.
For the forgiveness of my sins.
For the forgiveness of my sins.
And I repent.
I repent.
I believe that the Father.
I believe that the Father.
Raised you from the dead.
Raised you from the dead.
I believe that you are in heaven.
I believe that you're in heaven.
Seated at the right hand of the Father.
Seated at the right hand of the Father.
And that you're coming again soon.
And that you're coming again soon.
I receive your free gift of salvation.
I receive your free gift of salvation.
Holy Spirit,
live inside me.
Teach me.
Correct me.
Lead me.
Guide me.
And help me live for you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. John 14, 15 through 18, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Amen. He lives inside of us to help us, to teach us, to correct us, and lead us and guide us, and change us and renew our minds by the word of God, which he does not speak on his own authority. He speaks only what he hears the Father say. Amen. Amen. We want to thank you for joining us this morning. Remember to go to gotfavchurch.org, and you can return the Lord's tithe and give offerings in his name. And follow us on our social media on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Have a blessed day. Amen.